4 through 7, it's right after Titus and before Hebrews. It's easy to miss. It is one short chapter. Pastor Owen had his farewell sermon last Sunday, and I thought before we began a new series, I would have my own farewell sermon, not for myself, obviously, but as a kind of sermonic tribute in thanksgiving to God for what God has done for us through the ministry of Pastor Owen. Before we hear God's word read, let us go to him in prayer. We are blessed when we walk in your way, O Lord. By your Spirit, grace us with understanding that we might walk in your ways and keep diligently the precepts you have commanded. In Christ we pray. Amen. Hear now the inspired, authoritative word of God. Philemon verses 4 through 7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Children, do you know your birthday? If I asked you individually, would you know the date of your birthday? Some nods. May 15th, okay. Whose child is that? Yes, that's perhaps the first date that we as children learn. And it's a very important day. It's perhaps why we learn it, because it is so special to the family that we're born in. It's a special day because it's that day that the Lord brought you safely into the world, into the arms of your parents. And you are a heritage of the Lord, reward from God for his kingdom. And so we ought to remember our own birthdays, not to exalt ourselves, but to exalt Christ for what he's doing in and through us. So dates are important. And if you think otherwise, you just have to ask a husband how important it is for him to remember his wedding anniversary. Dates can be memorable either for good or bad reasons. Let's just consider one date. And of course, there is a reason for considering this particular date, but December 11th. And see what kinds of things, events happened in the various years in history. In 361, Julian entered Constantinople as sole emperor of the Roman Empire. He probably considered that a very memorable date and wanted his subjects to recognize it as such as well. Fast forwarding 1,000 years, in 1475, Pope Leo X was born. And this was the pope who had Martin Luther excommunicated. In 1792, during the French Revolution, King Louis XVI of France was put on trial on December 11th for treason. In United States history, in 1816, Indiana becomes the 19th state. Anyone here from Indiana who really knew that already before I said it? No? Okay. I didn't either. In 1934, Bill Wilson, co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, perhaps ironically here, takes his last drink and enters treatment for the final time. In 1941, Germany and Italy declare war on the U.S. In Presbyterian history, in 1995, on December 11th, Greg Bonson, the great OPC, Orthodox Presbyterian Church minister and defender of the faith, died an untimely death. And in more recent Presbyterian history, in 2011, December 11th, Pastor Owen was installed as a senior pastor of Cross Creek Presbyterian Church. Just over a month ago, was Pastor Owen's 9-year anniversary at Cross Creek, and an anniversary of much greater moment than the ones just mentioned, because of the people that God ministered to through Pastor Owen. That's why it's more significant, because of God's faithful work of faith and love in the lives of his people for his people. And so we Cross Creekers would do well to remember December 11th, 2011, because on that day, Christ began a new work in the life of his body at Cross Creek. He continued to work on an established foundation set by pastors before him. The Lord has been working in and through his people ever since creation. And because this work is a mighty, wondrous work, we, his people, should look for it. We should thank him for it. That's what we'll be doing this morning. The Apostle Paul knew this, and he saw God doing an excellent work in his fellow worker, Philemon. That's what Paul calls Philemon in verse 1. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. So we agree with John Calvin when he says that Philemon belonged to an order of pastors, because this title, fellow worker, with which he adorns him, is a title which he is not accustomed to bestow on any private individual, having bestowed it on people like Timothy, Titus, Mark, Luke. So allow me to take the Paul-Philemon relational dynamic and use it as representative of the kind of powerful grace we see in every generation in the body of Christ. Indulge me as I humbly take on the role of Paul, not claiming to be an apostle by any stretch of the imagination, but I shall use his words to Philemon to reflect on God's ministry to Cross Creek through Pastor Owen. God's people are always thanking God for his work of love and faith in the fellow workers of the gospel. That's what we see in verses 4 and 5. Again, look at scriptures with me. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Philemon's love and faith toward Christ and the saints was evident to Paul. And so Paul prioritized praise to God for Philemon over his later request for Philemon to receive Onesimus as a brother, no longer as a slave. That request is an important request that takes up most of the letter. But before he gets into that, he wants Philemon to know that he, Paul, is praising God, thanking God for Philemon and the faithfulness that Philemon has wrought in the household, the church that's meeting in his home. Philemon demonstrated a pastor's heart to the church that is in his home. If you have love, if you have faith, then you do have the essence of the Christian life. Just taking two verses as samples for this reality. John 15:12, Jesus says to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You cannot, as John would say in 1 John, you cannot say that you love God and at the same time hate your brother. If you truly love your brother, that's evidence that you truly love Christ. If you truly love Christ, then you will truly love your brother. You will dwell in unity, in love with your brother. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." How we enter into that relationship of love, first with God, then with others, is through the instrument of faith, which itself is a gift from God. Love and faith are gifts from the Lord, which form the essence of the Christian life. If you have love, if you have faith, you have Christ. And if you have neither love nor faith, you ought to challenge yourself, asking whether you truly do have Christ. The manifestation of faith and love is a sign of being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 5:16 that they no longer regard Christ according to the flesh. In other words, their eyes have have been enlightened by means of the Holy Spirit, they now see clearly who the Christ is. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of sinners. He is truly man and truly God. He isn't simply a great teacher or a moral example or a prophet who got some things right. He is Son of God. The old has passed away, the new has come, and now we see Christ clearly. This demonstration of faith and love is a great blessing to those that you share it with. Again, here, toward all the saints, Paul references Philemon's work, toward all the saints. And so you don't hide your faith and your love under a bushel. You let your light shine. You let the light of your love, you let the light of your faith shine brightly before God and before men. Philemon must have shown to the household of faith in his home church much evidence of love. He no doubt was patient with them that afflicted him. He was kind to the suffering. He didn't throw his weight around, as he didn't envy or boast to his fellow saints. He certainly preferred others to himself, not insisting on his own way. He bore all things, believed all things, and hoped all things. He loved them. Philemon loved them because of his love for Christ and because of Christ's love for him, who graciously made him a slave to Christ. He was compelled by the compassion of Christ, and his eyes were fixed on his Savior. The people who met weekly at his home were no doubt blessed by his love and faith. And Paul does not skip a beat in his prayers, giving thanks to God for what only God can do. Like Philemon, Pastor Owen similarly showed love and faith toward Christ and the saints here. His love for Christ, his faith in Jesus, was evident from the sun's rising to its setting. I had the privilege of sharing a hotel room with the man in 2019 when he and I went to the General Assembly together. Just a couple snapshots of his faith and love. One morning, I woke up thinking I was going to get an early start, get out of the way, do my morning routine, not to be an inconvenience to him, not knowing his routine. Well, I was going to get up extra early, and I did. But when I opened my eyes, I saw him already awake, dressed with Bible in lap and eyes closed in prayer. He remained that way for several minutes. I remained in my bed and stared at him, thanking the Lord for a brother who's faithful to read the Word of God and pray. He would take in God's Word and intercede on behalf of the brothers, the people at the General Assembly who were about to spend a whole week doing the Lord's work nationally for our denomination, which he loves. Such faith in Christ, such love for Christ and love for the brothers. Might have been the same day or another day during the week, but after a long day of church business, I decided to retire early, which means I went to the hotel room about 10, and I decided I was going to read sleep in my bed, which is just, you get in the bed, you have a book, and then you read until you go to sleep, which is usually about a paragraph for me. I ended up falling asleep before he got back to the room. It was kind of like, I don't know, I kind of felt like a spouse, like, where is he coming? You know, I was worried about him. I was worried about the man. I didn't need to be. He's you know, an adult and a grown man, of course. And so I woke up the next morning and asked where he was. And that sounds like a spouse again. Sorry. I learned the next morning that he had providentially met another pastor on the elevator, and they began sharing their lives together, and they spent, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours or so. He didn't get in until about 1 or 2 in the morning. I was okay with that. But this is a snapshot of just the fact that he's always pursuing God-glorifying, man-edifying relationships with other pastors. Just two snapshots of his love and faith, which can be multiplied many times over, even from the same week. And I'm sure you guys have your own thoughts, your own reflections for how he has demonstrated faith and love. Could it be the faithful birthday cards that he wrote to you and your children? The patient and listening ear over hours of conversation? Could it be the drop everything, go to the hospital visitation? Could it be the late night house call to offer his presence, the word of God, some prayer to stabilize you? Could it be the hours of counseling he provided to minister to your suffering soul? Could have been one of these, could have been all of them, or more. Thank the Lord for his work of love and faith in and through Pastor Owen. I hope you know that this sermon is really not about Pastor Owen. It's about God and his faithfulness to care for his people through his people. So take some time today in prayer, in family worship, at the dining room table with your family, talking about the things that God was doing through Pastor Owen. And take some time also to thank Pastor Owen. Even though he's no longer present with us, he still has ways of being contacted. Call him up, Facebook message him, email him. Let him know, as you have been the last number of weeks, to be sure, let him know how thankful you are to God for Pastor Owen's faithfulness. God's people are refreshed by fellow workers. Verse 7 says, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Philemon refreshed the hearts of the saints. This word refresh speaks of offering relief to heavily burdened people, of helping them to rest after much hard labor, toil. The word takes us back even to Jesus' own use of it in Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. I will give you rest." Devoting yourself to your self-generated works will result in nothing but unrest. True rest is a soul satisfied in his Savior, even Jesus Christ himself. Philemon followed his Lord Jesus Christ by administering relief to the needs of the saints that met in his home. He relieved their distresses, helped unburden them from uneasiness and grief. He didn't offer physical relief alone. That he did as far as he was able, of course. But he refreshed their hearts. This word hearts, in verse 7, literally means bowels. So we can translate this verse as, "The bowels of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." It's referring to the spiritual innards. The heart has the seat of the person, of mind, will, and affections. The individual has been refreshed through Philemon. Philemon knew that a satisfied belly wouldn't last, but that bowels that have been bathed in the water and blood of Jesus Christ burn ardently and brightly for Jesus. A retired pastor I know from Phoenix was recently asked how he was doing after 50 years of ministry. He said, "I am slowing down, but burning brightly for Jesus." Now, I don't anticipate Pastor Owen's ministry to be done right now, especially given the new call he has in Florida and given his age. And so we pray that there would be much more brightness, that Pastor Owen would grow ever brightly for God to man. Despite the weathered and worn lives of the saints, their affections are fervently fixed on Jesus. Philemon ministered to their hearts by putting before them their Sabbath rest. Week after week, he said, here is your rest, Jesus Christ. Be refreshed through him. And in his 9-year ministry here, Pastor Owen refreshed the hearts of the saints. And there's no doubt about that. When we consider the primary way of refreshment for the saints from the Holy Spirit, what ought to come to mind is the word of our Sabbath rest. Titus 3, verses 4 through 6 says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's a rich, abundant outpouring of God's mercy by means of the Holy Spirit through the Word. Pastor Owen took to heart his primary purpose as pastor, which was to glorify God by ministering the Word of God to the people of God. That was his primary objective. Like Paul, he did not shrink back from teaching the whole counsel of God. If you were to go to Sermon Audio, you would see over 500 audio recordings, which do not mean that's all he ever did, all the teaching he ever did here. Not everything was recorded. But if you were to look at those 500 and I think 17, 18 audio, you would see studies from the whole gamut of scriptural topics. You'd see Advent series, the law of God, the covenant theology, the church, covenant family, the power of the cross, the Lord's Supper, the Trinity, godly leadership, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit in John's writings, the beatific vision, killing sin, the five solas of the Reformation, and the doctrines of grace. Indeed, one of you told me before he was, before this church member here, he looked on our website and listened to a guy named Pastor Owen teaching a sermon on Romans 9, perhaps during the Reformation month. And this person was led to Cross Creek because of the preaching, because Pastor Owen was not afraid to preach the clear counsel of Christ. Not only did Pastor Owen preach and teach on scriptural topics, but of course he went through whole books of the Bible. Isaiah, did the first half of Isaiah and told me that he was going to do the second half after Romans. So we missed out on that one. Isaiah, he did Daniel, Exodus, the Psalms, Colossians, the Gospel of Luke, Ephesians, Philippians, and as you know, most recently, Paul's letter to the Romans. The man loves the Word of God and was used mightily by God to refresh all our hearts with it. This heart refreshment is cause then for much comfort and joy. Paul gained much comfort and joy from hearing of Philemon's heart refreshing ministry. Paul was always on the lookout for someone to refresh his spirit. You know, if you knew Paul's life, you know he had a lot of opposition and could use a daily refreshment of spirit, as we all could. In 1 Corinthians 16, 18, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus refreshed his spirit and the Corinthians' spirit as well. And later on in his letter to Philemon, in verse 20, Paul, taking much joy and comfort from Philemon's refreshing ministry, asks Philemon to refresh his heart once again in Christ by receiving Onesimus, no longer as a slave, but as a brother. That's true unity. That really is going to offer the refreshment that Paul was looking for. Appropriate comfort and joy from refreshment. Reflect, beloved, on your own affections for Christ from his ministry through Pastor Owen. And you need not worry, we're not going to take Pastor Owen's teachings and preachings down from Sermon Audio. So now, with that fact, dig into the archives on Sermon Audio. Have a listen and praise God for a refreshed soul. Finally, God's people pray for the effectiveness of God's work in his people. We see this in verse 6. Look at it with me. "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." So in this verse, Paul is praying for divine efficacy through Philemon's ministry toward all the saints. Paul shares Philemon's faith, and in his prayer, he's asking for an increased, powerful result. Even though he has already derived much joy, much consolation from hearing about Philemon's faith and love, Paul prays for more. "I want more faithfulness. I want more joy, more consolation, more comfort, more fruitfulness." Like a follower of Christ, Paul is discontent with the current state of knowledge and piety in his own life, in Philemon's life, in the lives of those that God used through Philemon. That's a godly discontentment. We should always be discontent with our current relationship with the Lord. Not to say that we would doubt our salvation, but that we would say, "Let me grow ever more in unity, in truth, in love for you, Christ, my Savior." Like a husband who's been married to his wife for over 50 years, still desiring to know her better and delight in her more and more, Paul prays for greater knowledge and a greater employment of the divine equipment necessary for service to Christ's people. What does Paul do when he is praying to his sovereign shepherd? He's praying that God would make himself known more and more to his sheep through his under-shepherd, Philemon. It's my prayer. I know it's been yours as well, that the 9-year sharing of Pastor Owen's faith and love would yield such a harvest that there's not enough baskets to collect all the Spirit-wrought fruit born in faith. Over 60 baptisms, a handful of weddings and funerals, over 110 session meetings, over 30 presbytery meetings, 7 or so general assembly meetings, hundreds of hours of audio, thousands of hours of conversations about Christ. Who knows all the lives affected? Who knows all the fruit born and knowledge of Christ gained by the sharing of Pastor Owen's life? Well, God himself knows. What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? What then is Pastor Owen? He would say the same thing. Who am I? Servants through whom you also believed, as the Lord assigned to each. Pastor Owen planted, he watered, but God gave the growth. There were times when Pastor Owen saw the increase, but it wasn't he who created the increase. We could say that God planted, God watered, God gave the growth. Were it not for God, all of Pastor Owen's efforts would have been done in vain. But thanks be to God that God did use Pastor Owen for planting and watering. You, beloved, are God's field. You are God's building. And so we pray that God would take all the hard work of Pastor Owen and would make it effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that we have in Christ Jesus. Pray, dear ones. Pray that the Lord would use his work through Pastor Owen to bring to fruition a full knowledge of himself in your life. And of course, pray also for the Lord's work through Pastor Owen in his new ministerial setting, that they would be blessed as we have been blessed. To God be the glory of great things he has done. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, that our ways would be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Fix our eyes on your commandments, O Lord. Then we shall praise you with upright hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.